I'm Nia.
And I'm Sydney.
And welcome to Whole Lotta Baka.
In this episode, we're going to discuss Seven Deadly Sins Season 2 and 3.
If you haven't watched yet, feel free to join us again next week when we get back to Full Metal Alchemist.
All right, now let the Bakanists begin. All right, we're talking about Season 2 and Season 3, Seven Deadly Sins.
Mm-hmm.
There's really not much to say about Season 2.
Yeah. I don't even know why this is considered a season. This could have just been a filler episode or two.
It could have been. Like, it could have been like a 1.5.
Right?
It did not need to have its own number. It's like The Lion King 2.5 or whatever they had.
1.5.
1.5. See? We didn't need season 2. So that's all I've got to say about season 2. Is we didn't.
Yeah. It's just Hawk.
It's just Hawk. Yeah.
So
the real thing.
So after this point, like the fight with Hendrickson and Leonis, they kind of like separate a little bit, like go in their separate ways. Yeah. Because things are resolved, but things are still kind of crazy at the same time.
Mm-hmm. It's more so like Bond leaving though. Bond leaving and then King following after him.
True, but Deanne leaves too.
Deanne leaves because she got freaking hypnotized
by Gother.
Like Gother to lose her memories. Like they didn't just like he didn't just learn a lesson with Gila. Like can we really say that they just went off on their own? Like
immediately after Deanne was like, Gother, how could you do such a thing? How could you ever do that? He literally does it to her.
Right. I'm like, can you say that she went off on her own? No.
No. I'm just saying she went off.
She went off then. Okay, we'll say that. She went off. Bond and King went off on their own. While everybody else was like, okay, well, we're going to still try to go fight demons and fuck up. y'all have your little
thing. Everyone else is like, you realize we're not done, right?
Right. Like, the demons are still out there. What the fuck are you doing?
Like half the Holy Knights are still half demon.
Yep.
Haven't all been saved yet.
And they're like, yeah, fuck it. I mean, it's Bond, really. So I'm not really surprised.
And it's to go save Elaine.
Ugh.
Like.
I thought it was so funny when he went to the Fairy Kingdom and her perfectly preserved
body. Like, what is that? Laying in flower petals.
Right. She looks like she is not wrinkled, aged, decayed, nothing. And I'm like, what?
And I know it must have been a good amount of years since this happened. And she looked like it happened yesterday.
It honestly made me think, did it happen yesterday?
Like, literally. I was like, wait, why is, what? And then I was like, maybe it's, you know, because she's a fairy. I don't know.
Ooh, what made me so mad about this whole, like, arc, right? They go to the Fairy Kingdom. Elaine's there, whatever. King is like, oh my gosh. And all the fairies are like dogging his ass. Just
literally
like throwing tomatoes
at him.
Boo. Like, go home. Go away. Even though he is home.
He is home, right.
And not more than 20 seconds later. Ah! No, King! Please! Because the freaking demon race is coming after their ass now. Like, what?
No, what I thought was funny was that they were calling Bond the king.
Right. And then where is Bond when they need him? Over there making out with
Elaine's body.
Over there defending Elaine's body from the little beehive woman who wanted to kill him. And then she's like, you are now forever part of the tree. Like, that whole thing, I was like, you are not intimidating at all. Oh,
it reminds me of that episode of Family Guy when they're like one with the tree. When they were trying to get them to live in there.
Yes, yes.
Literally, it reminded me of that. It was so funny. Like, this whole thing was just like so random to me. Like, just so happens when they get there that this big giant demon attacks and all of this is going down at the same time.
The other thing about Elaine situation is like further on, like he's with like Jericho, right? King goes back and does whatever he wants to do to go find Deanne. He's with Jericho now. Elaine comes storming at him, trying to kill him. And I'm just like, how? Like, and they're like, Bond's like, oh my gosh, Elaine, what are you doing? What's wrong? And I'm just like, she's never acted like this to you. Why are you so forgiving of her? She's trying to kill you and Jericho. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Bond is an absolute idiot. And then the fact that, like, she's like, why do you have this girl? Are you cheating on me? Basically that type of shit.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Bond has literally told you, or is literally telling you now, he has traveled all throughout the countryside to try to revive your ass. And you're going to do this to him. You tried to kill him.
Oh, it was so funny. Honestly, I liked her a little bit at that part. It was funny.
Maybe a little bit. Maybe a little bit. The whole little dark dress that she had going on and shit like that.
It was too funny.
And then I'm like, he did not ask Jericho to be here. So, like, the fact that he's getting killed over Jericho's ass and he didn't even ask her to be there.
And Jericho kills me how she always wanted to change her look when she around Bond.
Like, he... Okay, now I will say, Nia, I ship Jericho and Bond.
I do, too. More than I ship him and Elaine because... Definitely. I mean, mostly just because Elaine looks like a child and I'm like, I don't care if she's a child. She looks like a child and that bothers me. But... Yeah, like, we've already had this discussion. But anyway, I mean, but also Jericho's, like, kind of annoying.
I think that she, like, she can get better. I feel like she's only annoying because of the fact that, like, Bond is pushing her ass away. And she really is trying to, like, validate, like, oh my gosh, that Bond. Like, my
character is what makes me like her character. Like, that's what makes her character funny. If that weren't written in, I wouldn't like her character. Like, there's really not much else I like about her. It's just funny that she's simping after Bond and Bond doesn't want her.
I would like for them to be together, though. Nia, the scene where we find out that Bond actually low-key is fucking with Jericho before all of this. Oh, my gosh. I was like, is it happening? And then Elaine comes back and ruins it. I'm like, oh, he didn't say
that. I'm so mad they didn't take that direction.
I know. And that's also the Chivago arc. I was literally so sad about all that because Chivago was like a dad to him. Okay. I also didn't understand how Chivago didn't recognize Bond, but obviously Bond recognized Chivago from the jump.
Wasn't he a child when he left? I mean, he looks the exact same, but...
How many white, spiky-haired, sunken-eyed looking people do you know, Chivago?
Red irises. Scar across the face.
All the same features as what Bond looked like when he was a child. And it took a whole backstory of how Chivago got here for Chivago to realize that Bond is Bond, his child. He's like, I was never mad at you, Dad. And Chivago's eyes are like, son? I'm like, shut up. What? Are you kidding me?
That, oh gosh. And then he dies.
They made that
everything that's happening is just hilarious to me.
Wait, what?
The timing of all these events that's been happening to Bond has been hilarious to me.
Why?
I mean, because it's just so back to back and random. It's like
you get sadness.
Huh?
You get sadness. And then funny, and then sadness again. Because the whole Chivago story of being like, oh my gosh, who do I choose? My son, my actual son, or my adopted son? Crying tears. then the whole finding out that Bond is Bond, funny. And then he dies, sad again. It's an emotional roller coaster with Bond's life, honestly.
Bond always. Always. Love him for that. Hate him for Elaine, but love him for that.
Yes. Most annoying couple ever. But whatever. Yeah. The Ten Commandments. How do we start off this episode and not talk about the Ten Commandments?
Because they're not at the start of the season.
They are, though.
Not really.
They come crashing down.
True. And, but we didn't even talk about how King had to body the demon and he almost died. And then Bond had to save him.
Honestly, I'm only fucking with the Ten Commandments more right now. I'm so sorry. I mean, without the Ten Commandments, the demon would not have been there.
True.
So the Ten Commandments did come before they went to the fairy kingdom. But we don't even meet all the Ten Commandments.
Yeah.
We meet, who do we meet? We meet
the truth one.
We meet Zeldris, which he's like piety or piety. I don't really know what that means. Do you? Off the top of your head? No.
Well.
Okay. Yeah, we meet the truth one, Galen, which hilarious. Honestly, one of my favorites. And then Monspeet.
I feel like it's something similar to Pride. Now I feel like I have to look it up.
Monspeet, Meliscula, Grey Road, Gloxnia we meet. We meet one of the giants. I forgot his name. And then we meet the girl. What is the girl's name?
Don't ask me. I don't know any of their names. Except for Estorosa and Zeldris.
Oh, Estorosa. We do meet Estorosa. And then the girl. So how many is that?
Dieri is one of the girls.
Dieri, that's who I was. Yes.
The girl's name, the one who steals souls.
I think that's Meliscula, the one with like the freaking orb around her or some shit.
Yeah,
that's Meliscula. And then Grey Road is the other one with the orb and the faces and shit.
Mm-hmm.
And then Monspeet is the one that doesn't always have a mouth. Have you noticed that? I've noticed that. When I first met him, I was like, why does everybody else have a mouth but this man? But then he speaks, and then he has a mouth. I don't know.
That's the one with the mustache?
Yeah, him. That's him. Out of the ones that we've met, out of the Ten Commandments that we've met, who are your top three? Or your top one? Who stands out more to you? Maybe I should say that.
I like Galen, but he was a good character. I like him. I don't know if I would say he was my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
But I did like him. I like Estorosa.
Really?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, interesting. Okay, it's like not shocking, but it's shocking.
I don't like Zeldris.
No. I don't like. Speaking of Zeldris, I was talking to somebody who actually said that Zeldris was their probably one of their top three favorites.
But why?
I
hate his whole character design, honestly.
It was because of, oh, he's like the most powerful one out of the 10. I'm like, okay. That is like his personality. Correct.
No one disagreed with you.
Right. His personality is assetry. That's what I can't get over that.
Literally. His whole dialogue was just bleh.
That's why I can't sit here and say he's one of my
looking top. At him is just bleh.
Right. Mm-mm.
I do like Dieri. I think her power is cool, that her punches get stronger.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that it's a female character who goes off of brute strength.
Yep.
I also like the other female character, the one who steals souls. I like her too.
Of course. Of course you do. I think my top three would have to be Monspeet and Dieri, because of their like the fact that you could tell from this season that Monspeet is kind of fucking with Dieri and like, okay,
y'all cute. Shipping it.
I'm so shipping it. I'm like, y'all cute as fuck.
Yeah, that's super cute.
And I like how he's like, yo, we can just like live here in this little house. Like, here's an outfit for you that I found. And she's like, don't you fucking dare. And I'm like, oh, okay, got balls over here. But I like them too. And then I like Galen. I only like Galen because of how freaking hilarious and dumb and stupid he is.
Yeah, he's the most entertaining one.
Yes. And it's like the way that he acts and the fact that they always call him an old man. It fits him.
He does 100% fit. He acts like a kooky old man.
He does. He thinks that he's so much better than everybody. And he's got all these tricks up his sleeve to defeat all these people. And then ends up being the first one dead.
Yep.
That was hilarious. I'm like, wow. Like, he's so cocky about that. So cocky. And then had the nerve to say Escanor was cocky.
Right. I mean, he's not wrong, but.
Escanor is cocky, but he knows that he's got the shit.
Yeah. It's rightfully so. More like confident.
Yeah, it's rightfully so. Confident, all that stuff. Gallen is just like, he knows that, like, he's got the truth over you. Mm-hmm. As opposed to knowing that you actually have skill, which Escanor knows that.
Yeah.
That's the difference between them two. And so that's why Gallen ended up freezing himself or whatever it was.
Speaking of Escanor, we finally meet Escanor.
Oh, yeah. We finally meet Escanor, which...
The seventh sin.
I was waiting for that because I loved him in the day and in the night.
Yeah. Both of his personalities.
How they're complete opposites.
It's so cute. I like his little backstory. It's so cute.
Oh, what's his backstory again?
He's like, he was basically a banished prince. Like, he was...
Oh.
Yeah, but... I think he got like this power early in life, like as a baby probably. So he grew up like just ridiculously strong. Almost just kind of like Hercules. Remember the story of Hercules?
He is the closest looking to Hercules.
Yeah, well, Hercules just had a troubled life just because he was too damn strong. He was knocking shit over and shit. Well, they gave him away. They kicked him out of the kingdom. Like, mm-hmm. He wasn't good enough to be a prince, I guess. And so, yeah, that's how he joined the sins.
And he was also a holy knight.
Meliodas, like, discovered, yeah, because Meliodas, like, discovered him and, like, told him to come.
I thought he was a holy knight before that.
I don't think so.
I guess when he said that, he was only talking about him being one of the sins. Okay. Yeah. How the sins were put together, like, still doesn't make any sense to me. Like, it was literally, like, okay, the king... You know how the king has, like, the power he could see into the future and stuff like mm-hmm. that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he saw the future that the kingdom was going to be saved by seven sins. And I don't know who it was that was right next to him or that, like, piped up and said, what? No way. How could sin save the castle or whatever? Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, what is her name? Merlin comes out of nowhere and she's like, I'm the one that's going to organize the seven sins. I'm one of them. And I'm like, what? I'm like, I'm sorry. What? How was that? Like, I was expecting when I first watched the show that there was going to be more of a backstory of how they got their names and how they became. I mean, they are having a backstory, but like.
Can they give us those little backstories right. And meet them.
They do.
Like, the first time we got Meliodas's.
But, like, I just wasn't expecting them to, like, get together in that way, I guess. Because they do give the backstories. I don't know what I'm talking about. They do give the backstories. But it's just how they all came to be. Like, it was Merlin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was expecting that. But she is always working behind the scenes, so I'm not surprised.
But how did she know about the rest of the...
Because she herself is a mage. She probably also had a vision.
Oh, that is true. A little snowball.
She's always in the background doing something. Like, she always knows what's going on. She always working on it. Like, you never know what Merlin's doing.
That is true. Okay. So now, thank you for clearing that up. That makes sense of how she was able to walk in and be like, I am one of the sins. Meliodas is another. And
she had the same premonition.
The same premonition, the perfect timing. She saw that too. He saw that too. Talking about the sins are gonna lead us, knowing good and damn well Merlin's about to walk in and say something. He saw that. He saw that coming. Oh, we do get Meliodas' backstory.
Yeah, because he has to go to the tower of whatever. What's in the tower of? Tower of Truth? That only makes sense.
Oh, they went to Istar.
Yes.
And the druids or something, and they had to go.
Him and Elizabeth have to, like, test their power in order for it to be restored.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, she gets her full healing power from, what, saving a bird or something. And he has to, like, face his past, which is his sin of literally demolishing an entire city.
Yeah. And then the girl, The girl from Istar, when they first got there, I was like, oh, Lord, does Meliodas have another love interest? But then
I thought it was Elizabeth.
Yeah. What do you mean?
Like the other one.
Oh, you thought that she was the old Elizabeth.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, I didn't think that. I thought it was a whole completely other girl. I'm like, Meliodas, stop with the bitches. It's enough. You already got Deanne wrapped around your entire body because she can't be wrapped around your finger because she's a giant. Mm-hmm. Then you got Elizabeth that don't even realize who she is to you. And then now you got the Istar bitch. What the hell? But to find out that she's worried about him as a friend standpoint because Elizabeth is Liz and he's unstable with her. And all that. And then we get to find out that he's all upset. She's a baby and they want to take her. And he's like, I've had a vision that she's going to be my adopted daughter. Like,
everybody having visions.
That one, the king, when he said that, I'm like, that sounds wrong. Absolutely wrong. Saying, I had a vision that she will be my adopted daughter. I'm like, what?
Who? I mean, he has visions. Maybe he
He has the vision, but like he could lie about any vision. Like that's a vision he could change on his own by lying.
Yeah, for sure.
As opposed to saying there's a meteor about to hit the earth and then 20 minutes later, the meteor hitting the earth. He couldn't have made that happen. But him saying, oh no, Elizabeth is my daughter now. Like definitely could have been made up, but I let it slide.
I mean, yeah.
I also he did good with her. He did good.
Exactly.
But yeah, that was... Is there anything else? Oh, yeah. You said that you liked Estrosa. Estrosa.
Yeah. I mean, I don't really have any good reason other than like when Meliodas had to fight the Ten Sins, it was Estrosa that like basically killed him. So that was like a nice little fight scene.
Is that what piqued your interest?
I don't remember. I did not think that Meliodas was dead even the first time that I watched it because we already know Elizabeth got the damn healing shit. So I never thought he was dead. Even though I guess like it ended up being different than what I expected. It just like didn't hit me in a way where like the main character dies, you know?
Right.
So because of that, I was able to actually enjoy the fact that he was just getting his ass kicked because I think I complained in the last episode that he... about this, but yes, it was a nice fight scene. So
is that what piqued your interest about Estrosa?
Yeah, that's what made me be like, okay, like he's really powerful.
I thought that your first maybe little snippet, and it might have been, and you're just not like thinking about it, but like we see Estrosa for like a second before all of this. When the first when the Ten Commandments come down and they're like, oh, we don't have our power. We need to like lay low kind of thing. And Zeldris like turns to Estrosa and he asks him like, how do you feel, Estrosa? Mm-hmm. And like that gave like big dick energy because it's like, I thought you were big dick energy, Zeldris. Why are you asking Estrosa? You're supposed to be top dog in here. Mm-hmm. And it's like Estrosa's like demeanor. I thought that would have caught your eye first other than him killing Meliodas, or like started it, I guess.
Mm-hmm. I guess so. I mean, I never disliked his character at this point. I never disliked his character. So, but like, I mean, yeah. So, I mean, that was like likable. Yeah, I get what you're saying, but it wasn't like it stood out to me until this scene.
How did you feel about his fight with Escanor and getting his ass beat?
I love Escanor, so. Deserved.
You were that,
huh?
You were fine with Estrosa getting his ass beat.
Yes, it was. I'm fine with anything Escanor does.
Okay, I mean, you said that you liked.
I was ready for Escanor to beat Gother's ass, and you know I love Gother.
That is true.
I'm ready for him to beat Gother's ass.
That is true. Speaking of that little fight, that little tournament thing, that's where we meet Gloxinia.
Yeah,
and the whole like, we learned that that's the first fairy king, and. We also see the unnecessary
and the
girl.
Giant king. The giant king too.
Yep, the giant king. But this is also when we meet the unnecessary girlfriend interaction between Elaine and Elizabeth. Like, they're not about to get killed.
No, yeah, I skipped over that purposely.
In the middle of the
whole scene that's really worth talking about is Escanor and Gothar.
And then the fairy.
I guess it's like the background of like what's happening. I mean, I did think Gloxnia was like super powerful. I was like, why doesn't King have wings?
Right? Like, they do ask that question earlier on when he's in the fairy village, or not fairy village.
Yeah, they did. They did, which was like the first time it even dawned on me. I was like,
oh shit. Yeah. Like, nobody else does. But everybody else's are like tiny. I'm like, I mean, I guess he doesn't need to. It's the one thing that distinguishes him from everybody else.
Right, because he's a king, you know, and
Elaine
didn't have them either. So I was like, okay.
Right. And it's also like, he's got the guardian. So it's like, he's got one thing that y'all don't have. And so I thought that basically that was like his replacement for his
wings. Right. And he still flies. So.
Right. So what is the point of him having the wings? It's just cosmetic at this point.
It is. It really is. Because he got some big ass beautiful wings. Gloxnia.
He does.
So that's why I was like, okay, that's the first king.
Now I'm jealous.
Right.
Exactly. Where are my king's wings at?
Literally. But other than that, I was wondering, like, how come King and Gloxnia, like, don't have the same Chasterfold moves?
Uh-huh. Well, I mean, they're two different people.
I've never seen King use that Sunflower of Life thing, and I'm going to need him to learn that.
Right. But, I mean, that makes sense that they wouldn't learn, that they don't have the same things. And maybe, like, King can't perfect that yet. Maybe, like, all of the fairy kings have that ability to do all those things, and he just doesn't know how to do that yet.
Yeah.
Or there's, like, maybe there's, like, certain moves, and everybody transforms them into their own little thing, and so, like, that's his own little thing, and then King has his own version of that specific thing, but it doesn't look like the sunflower. Mm-hmm. But I would love to see him learn that.
Yeah, that would be great.
What is his name? Frodrin? Frodrin, the demon that's in Hendrickson and now is in what was his name? Dreyfus?
Dreyfus.
Mm-hmm. Dreyfus. I don't remember, like, I don't understand how he got into Dreyfus, because he was in Hendrickson. He was in Dreyfus first, or was he in Hendrickson first?
He was in Hendrickson first.
And then he just moved to Dreyfus.
Yeah, basically. He just body hopped.
Okay. Because I was like, did I miss something? I'm like, how the fuck did this happen? I thought y'all killed Frodrin, but he's a demon. He's a spirit. So he just hops. Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah. Makes sense. I mean, that's the understanding I have. Because what we just learned from Meliodas is that you have to destroy all 7 hearts. So I guess they didn't do that.
That is true. I just thought in the beginning, or I could have sworn in the beginning, he was in Dreyfus and then switched to Hendrickson. And then went back to Dreyfus.
He could have.
Which that wouldn't have made... I don't remember why that transpired. Because he had Dreyfus's body. I
think because Hendrickson, you know, the possession was over. I don't think people get repossessed. I don't know. It seems like Hendrickson learned his lesson.
I'm talking from the very beginning when Frodrin came up in the first place.
Oh, yeah. I don't
know. Past, like, I think he was in Dreyfus and then switched to Hendrickson, and I'm trying to figure out or remember why he body hopped in that short amount of time, because they were still in the cave when they met Frodrin, and then all of a sudden he decides to be Hendrickson for the next 10 years and then goes back to Dreyfus.
I don't know. I mean, whatever was convenient for him, I guess.
I don't remember. I thought that maybe you would remember, but
I don't. Sorry.
Sorry. So you said you were talking about how, like, Meliodas got killed by Estorosa, right?
Mm-hmm.
He ends up in purgatory, and you were not worried about Meliodas dying because he's the main character and the fact that Elizabeth got the healing shit, right?
Mm-hmm.
She got what?
What I didn't expect was him to end up in purgatory.
I didn't expect that, but what I also want to say about what you said is that you said that Elizabeth had the healing shit.
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't she heal him on the spot? Did she try?
I think she did try.
Okay.
Or actually, I don't know if she tried. She just went there and cried and being annoying like how she is.
Okay, thank you. Because I was like, when you said like she has the healing stuff, I was like, but she didn't use that.
She didn't use it. She has it.
Homie was dead for 3 days. Kid you not. Homie was dead for 3 days.
They were watching him the entire time. And then they went right after they left.
And then she wasn't even the reason that he was alive. I mean, she kind of was, but she kind of wasn't. Like, she didn't actually heal him and he didn't actually come back.
No, I wasn't saying that that's what happened. I'm saying that's what I was expecting to happen.
Oh, I'm saying, I understand what you're saying. I'm saying that it was dumb that he was dead for 3 days in general.
Oh, yeah.
And her healing power wasn't what brought him back.
Mm-hmm.
It was just like randomly she needed help and he was there.
That's always what happens.
And I'm just how like, convenient. Bro, you could have been had him back.
Like, yeah, how convenient. Like, Elizabeth just needs to need something. And all laws of the universe will be defied for her.
Elizabeth just needs, wait, say that again.
She just needs to need something.
She just needs to need something.
That's it.
That was actually really funny.
Anything at all, and the universe will move mountains.
For her. Just for her. Nobody else. That was also with around the time that Zaratross.
Yeah.
No, Zaratross makes no sense. No, makes none. He just shows up.
Don't ask me again because I didn't pay attention. I was like, what?
I don't know.
I watched this show already and I was still like, what?
Yeah, I blinked and he was there.
Yeah.
That was it. I don't have any other recollection of why this man was here. How was he alive? Like, is it a dummy?
Because didn't he die 10 years ago and now suddenly he appears?
And he still looks the same, just like Elaine.
But was he, I don't remember, was he a demon?
Are you saying, was he a demon 10 years ago? Or are you saying, is he a demon now?
He's a demon now.
I don't get that vibe from him because of the fact that he's an absolute idiot that can't do anything. Like, literally in the episodes that we find out that he's alive until whenever, he's not as strong as you thought he was going to be.
Right.
And I don't know if it's because he's been a corpse for 10 years and then like came back and he's like, oh no, I don't have any powers. Kind of like the Ten Commandments kind of thing. Or if he was always like that. And for some reason, somehow he was like top dog 10 years ago with no real good credentials as to why.
Right.
Because the whole time I was watching, I was like, God, this man is useless. And I think Hawk was saying shit like that, too. Was like, yeah. What are you here for? If you're not going to do anything, what in the world? Because I remember they were riding.
He never said that to Elizabeth.
Mm. Right. Right? Hawk, Elizabeth, you don't do shit. You do more than he does.
The nerve. Yeah. Just because he's bold. So, you know,
and the fact that he has the power to see like people's like power level, like that's a good
now thing. He actually does have a use.
Right. But like, other than that, I'm like, why don't you tell Elizabeth this? I'm like, he's a whole holy knight. And you're going to say that he's useless? Because I remember they were riding on Hawk's mom's back and like a whole bunch of demons came after them and he barely did anything. That was when Meliodas was like, sniffing out like, my boobs are in trouble. I need to go help. And then comes
out. I'm at risk of losing my pillows. I'll be right back.
And then at that scene, they had the biggest fan service of all Nia. And I remember being like, oh, why?
I already blocked it out.
I did block it out until just now.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
I don't even know what you're talking about. She's got amnesia.
Yes, I do.
Short-term memory loss. I'm sorry. Do you know your name?
No, I don't. How did I get here?
Who are you?
What are we even talking about?
Well, if you don't know what we're talking about, then I guess we can wrap this up.
And we'll catch you back here next week.
If Nia remembers.
Funny.
Bye. Well, that's a wrap on this week's episode. I hope you enjoyed our talk on Seven Deadly Sins seasons 2 and 3, and we hope you come back next Wednesday. Next episode, we'll be discussing Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood.
Don't forget to connect with us at bakahanasu@gmail.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, our YouTube channel, and of course this podcast at Whole Lotta Baka. Info in the show notes below, and don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe. Bye!